Good morning, North Street. Let me introduce myself. I'm Hayward Smith. I'm an elder here at North Street Christian Church. I would like to welcome all the visitors, families, friends, all the new members. God bless you. I'm glad you're here. I'm excited about being here to share the Word of God today. You know, the Bible is a very, very repetitive book. And there's nothing I can say that hasn't been said. But sometimes we need a battery charger. We need to charge our batteries on certain things, certain scriptures. Sometimes we get so used to the same things, it just gets monotonous and we just say things out of habit. Sometimes we mean our prayers that we pray. We be sincere about them most of the times. But sometimes they get repetitive also. But there's a thing that our Lord and Savior, He said, pray unceasingly. How do you do that? Well, of course, we all pray. Everybody knows how to pray. And most of us even know how to pray unceasingly. But we have to go by God's instructions, what He says. Because sometimes we get caught up in our own self. And we want to say and pray the way we want to. But God has given us specific instructions on prayer. Prayer is something that's been here since the beginning of time. People don't realize it, but they've always prayed for something. They've always prayed to something, someone, some, you know, the Indians pray to trees and moons and stars. Because, you see, we got that little something inside of us. We have a spot made just for our Creator. And there was times in history where people didn't know who their Creator was. There's times when people thought that we were recycled from frogs and toads and tadpoles. So they prayed to the animals and they prayed to the trees and all these things, but they prayed. That's what counts. Now, I don't know how close they got to heaven with those prayers to the deers and the buffalo and antelopes. I don't know. That's nothing in the scripture says anything about that. But God has given us specific instructions. He says, pray unceasingly. Now, was that a question or was that a demand? No, that was an instruction. God has given us instructions for everything we need in life. Everything that we have questions for, there's answers in the Bible. And how do you find them? Read. But when you read, let's read in a prayerful state of mind. We come before the Lord humbly. But yet He says, you come before me boldly. We're instructed to pray in God's will. Not just any old thing we want to pray about. We can't pray flippantly, where we come in and throw a prayer in the air. Now, here's a funny thing, though. Before I gave my life to Christ, I used to do flippant prayers. I used to do foxhole prayers, but I used to pray. And amazingly or not, God answered my prayers. I had no idea how things happened the way they did, how circumstances changed. You know, when you pray, things are bad sometimes, but they're not as bad as they could be. They could be worse if you don't pray. You see, prayer changes things. Prayer changes lives. The best thing that we can do is pray. Let me tell you, blood runs through our veins, and that's one of the things that keep our life, our flesh, fresh and vibrant and keeps us moving, and it's the bloodstream system going through us. But let me tell you something. You can be physically fit and still be dead inside. What we need is a soul flow, a flow for the soul, which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives our soul, our spirit, our personality, our character. The Holy Spirit gives us that inner quality about us. That's why when we pray, we feel a little bit different. We feel a little something that we didn't feel before. I find prayer so amazing. You know, that's one of the best things I look forward to every day, is just to wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Jesus. And by the way, since I'm here, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, let me ask, is anybody out here glad to be in today's day? Let's say it with me. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, that's a prayer itself. You don't have to have long, stretched out, big word prayers. You know, one of my favorite prayers is Psalm 51. And it's a pretty good sized prayer. But David was on point, because when he prayed, he put everything into it. You know, it was a salad. It was a salad of emotions. It was a little of this, a little of that. He prayed for help. He prayed for healing. He prayed for strength. He prayed for mercy. He prayed for cleansing. You see, when we pray, we've got to give it all to God. We've got to give him everything we got. We can't hold back nothing. What difference does it make if we hold it back? He knows anyway. So we need to come forward and be truthful with God. Who else would we pray to? I don't know. I can't find nobody else to pray to. You know, I don't pray to Muhammad. I don't pray to Buddha. I don't pray to Saint Teresa or anyone like that. That never crossed my mind because, you know, I never thought they was enough to pray to. I didn't think they could do enough for me. They had some answers to some things and some answers to some life situations, but they couldn't do the things that our God does for us. You know, prayer has no limits. That's the good thing about prayer. It has no limits. You can pray about anything and everything because that's what God said. But, of course, he gave us instructions on what to pray for and how to pray for. The biggest thing about prayer is he says it must be prayed in his will. We have to line ourselves up with God's will in order to get some results. Because if you just pray flippantly and pray unbelievingly, you know, they're just words to God, you know. They're not going to get no whole lot of results. Now, I can't speak for God. I'd be out of place to do that. But I got a feeling that if anyone came to me with a flippant attitude, I feel a little uneasy about trying to assist that person or help that person. If they came to me with demands about something they wanted from me, I would just think twice about helping them. And I think our Lord is the same way. Not that he won't help us when we say prayers in certain ways, but sometimes it might take a little longer for him to get the grip on your prayer. But see, we have a friend. We have a friend, the Holy Spirit, who helps us pray. You know, a lot of times we don't know what to pray about, and we pray prayers over and over, and it's always what we desire. We pray for desires, our own personal desires, but God said we must pray in his will. That's the important part, his will. We've got to pray fervently, sincere prayers. Sincere, fervent prayers change the heart. It changes the mind. It's healing. It's soothing. Prayer can be one of many things. It's not just one kind of prayer. Everybody sitting in front of me here can pray a different prayer and get a different result. God answers all prayers for the individual. That's the purpose he created prayer for. But now you got to remember that Christ prayed to the Father, but he prayed for the Father's desires to be fulfilled, not his own. When we pray, we must pray for God's will to be done in our life, not our own. We get sidetracked sometimes. Sometimes we want to just pray for what we want, what we need. But, you know, we need to ask God, what is it I need? What is it I need to pray for? Who is it I need to pray for? You know, if we don't have anything specific to pray for or pray about, which we should always have, but if we don't, we can always just start thanking Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's a prayer within itself. See, we want to communicate with God. Oh, I left my other book. Oh, here it is. This is what I want to talk about. I thought I had left it home. This is good news right here. Watch this. You see, prayer is several things, and I want to just touch on a couple of points. See, I'm not saying that there's a specific way to pray, and you don't have to pray the way I'm telling you to pray, but I want to give you a battery charger so you have some ideas and some materials to work with so you're on steady ground when you go before the Lord in prayer, you see? I mean, you can't just treat the Lord like any old street person. The Lord is our creator. He's the one who died on the cross and came back to life. He's the one who prepared eternity for us. You know, when you think about eternity, that's worth praying for. I was reading Revelation, and the things in Revelation gives you really a wake-up call. And it'll make you pray. Because you know what? You want to be on a winning team. I tell you what, if this is not the winning team being a Christian, I don't know what other team to be on. I love the Lord. He does so much in my life. I watch. I pay attention to what God does in my life. You know, because there's so many things I'm incapable of doing. There's so many things I cannot do. There's so many things I don't know nothing about. But you know what? I ask God, and some kind of way, things work out. I get answers, and I learn how to do these things. And I be in where He want me to be, and I do the things He want me to do. And sometimes I want to stomp and scream like a child because I am a child of God. And I act up and act out, but you know what? He still send me anyway. Do it any old way. You're a child of God. You're my son. You do what I say. And just like He did, who was it in the whale? Jonah. Thank you. Just like He did Jonah. Jonah was a fussy baby, and He just sent Jonah anyway. Jonah got to where he was supposed to go, and Jonah said, I'm going to die right here because I don't want to do it. And Jesus said, you know what? You're going to do what I say do. And that's what He does for us. We can whine and kick and cry what we're not going to do, but you know what? We're going to do it. But let me tell you about prayer. I almost got off the subject of prayer because, you know what, talking about God is just, it's just so much to talk about. You just, prayer is the opportunity to bring our will into the lineup with God's plans. Prayer, just like Abraham prayed, he prayed for a child. He wanted an heir. God asked Abraham, he asked God for an heir, and he wanted his wife to also, of course, have the child. But he had to wait so long for it. He almost thought it wasn't going to happen. And that's the way we feel sometimes when we pray, that it takes so long sometimes. But you see, God's will, God's way, God's day. That's the when it's supposed to be done. That's how it gets done when God says it's supposed to be done. And it's always the right time. He's always right on time. Let me read a little something here. It says, did Abraham change God's mind? Of course not. The more likely answer is that God changed Abraham's mind. Abraham knew that God is just and that He punishes sin. And he may have wondered about God's mercy. Well, Abraham seemed to be probing God's mind to see how merciful He really was. He left his conversation with God convinced that God was both kind and fair. Our prayers won't change God's mind, but they may change ours, just as Abraham's prayers changed his. Prayer helps us better understand the mind of God because we get linked up. We get connected when we pray. We're in a holy place. We're in holy space. We're on holy ground when we pray. We are on the heavenly thrones when we fervently pray to God. We are in His presence, and we must know that we're in His presence and conduct ourselves in such a way. Prayer is an opportunity to demonstrate God's trust. How much we trust God. When we pray, we're praying, but we've got to pray that what we pray for is going to be answered. We shouldn't pray and walk away saying, well, I hope that works. No, no, that's not how we pray. When we pray, we know that God is going to answer our prayers, and we've got to know that He's going to answer our prayers in His way. You see, prayer is a communication. Prayer is asking. You're asking the Father for something, whatever your need or your desire might be. You're asking the Father to handle this thing, help you handle this thing. Or sometimes ain't nothing we can do about it. God has to do it all Himself. Put people in our places. Put people in our faces. Put things in our path. You know, sometimes He has to knock us off our throne and lay us down in bed with sickness in order to get our attention so we can listen to what He has to say. You know, prayer is one of them things where we can talk and just talk too much and just overload the prayer line. You know, we need to be specific in our prayers. Know what we want to pray about. Prayer is speaking with God directly. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. You see, I was a Catholic for like, I guess, 12 years when I was going through high school. And I went through the stages of the cross. And we prayed to Mother Mary. And we prayed to this person and that person. And I never liked it that, you know. I had to go to a confessional, go in the little booth, close the curtains. It was all secret. I didn't even know who was on the other side of the window. That was kind of creepy. But he told me to pray. When I came out, I had to do 10 Hail Marys and 44 Our Fathers, and I was supposed to be cleansed after that. But you know what? That wasn't correct, because it never settled in my soul that that was the right way to do things. When I became a Christian, it was by accident, actually, because I was following other people, and I followed them right into this church, and it was a happy church. And I'll never forget it. It was called the Rock Church in Virginia. And I was following some people, and I thought it was a party, you know, because it had rock outside. Big old word said rock outside. So I followed everybody in there. I thought we was going to party. I was about 20, you know, and having a good time. And I went in there, and you ever see the Blues Brothers movie? When you walk through the door, the beam of light come down on you. That's the way I felt. I felt like, wow, what kind of place is this? They was playing pretty good music, too, you know, but they was praying up in there. They was really praying in there. They had prayer warriors in there. They had people that was in groups of prayer, and I thought they were singing and dancing, but they was having a Holy Ghost party, and that was something I wasn't familiar with. But I got familiar with it after a while, because you know what? They taught me how to pray. They told me to pray about the things that was important. Pray for people, no matter if you like them or not, because you would find out that something good would happen to you. They told me about a thing called reciprocity when I pray. They say what goes around comes around. I didn't believe that. But you know what? It was true. Everything they told me was true. Then they told me to start reading this Bible. I said, why? They say, because you'll learn how to pray. I say, what do you mean I got to read the Bible to learn how to pray? Why don't you just teach me? Why don't you just show me how to pray? He says, but the prayers are in the words of God. God's words are prayers. And what you do is you give God's words back to him, his promises, the things he's told you, and see if they don't come in the light for you. See if they don't light up like a light bulb. Eh, I tried it, and it did. It lit up like a light bulb. Whoa. Now, I like this. Prayer is an awesome privilege. It's a privilege for us to pray. Let me tell you something. People who don't pray, they're lost. I like to reiterate, I like to keep saying that when we pray, things change. We change. The situation changes. Circumstances change. We are so connected when we pray that we don't know how close we are to God. You know, it's breathtaking to know that an almighty God who created the universe, the stars, the sun, the moon, us, animals, fish, bugs, insects, microorganisms, he created all these things. But you know what? We are his favorite. And we are the least ones to pay any attention to him. You know, all kind of animals, trees, you know, everything pays attention to him. When the sun goes down, the animals go in. You know, when the snow comes, the leaves go away. Bears hibernate. You know, they obey God's nature. But us, we're fussy. We're disobedient. We're stubborn. We're stiff-necked. But you know what? All that lightens up once we begin to pray. The changes in my life that I know about, you see. See, I know about my life in prayer, and I can share that with you, because here I am today never knowing where God's plan was for me. I always thought I was going to be a priest. You know, I thought I'd have a little white collar on. Then I thought I'd be a Salvation Army minister one time. But I never thought I'd be a Christian person. And that's how life goes when you pray. Because, see, I prayed. I said, Lord, do something with me. Because I wasn't doing nothing with myself. And do you know, the Lord took me by baby steps, baby steps, baby steps. But you know what he did? He cleansed me. He stripped me of all the things I had loved at one time. But I kept praying to get those things back. But it never came back in my time. And I prayed and I prayed, and he took more and more away from me. And you know, I was about to give up on prayer. I really was. I said, you know, this prayer thing ain't working too good. But one thing I didn't realize is that he had to cleanse me. He had to strip me. He had to purify me in order for me to be filled with him and the Holy Spirit. The Lord takes things from us in order to fill us up. He empties us. He takes away the things that we think we love, we think we need. But you know what? The Lord has better things for us all the time. His plan is always so much better. And the more we pray, the more we get close and get to understand our Lord. You know, the Lord, He makes things very simple. He written the Bible in the third grade or sixth grade level. He wanted everybody to understand it. He wanted everybody to have a chance to read it. He wants children to pray. He wants older people to pray. He wants people in between to pray. He wants people to pray, period, constantly, unceasingly. Now, there is a problem with prayer, though. And there's a stipulation, I should say, not a problem. There's a stipulation to prayer. When we pray, we can't be holding a grudge. We can't have hate in our heart. We've got to be cleansed. We should pray with an open, clean heart. If we pray and we have animosity against our neighbor or our loved one, it's not going to be a very fervent prayer, because you're going to pray with an attitude. You don't go to God with an attitude. You go to God cleansed, humbled before Him. He says that fervent and sincere prayer changes the heart and has healing and life-changing power. He said that. These are words out of the Bible. The Lord didn't make no mistakes, and He don't lie. He can't lie. If He said that, then it's got to be true. So therefore, we should follow that instruction. There was something here in Psalm 5, verses 1 through 3, I wanted to take a look at. It was a pretty warming thing. Where is it? Psalm 5. The Bible is a book of so many wonders. There's so much in here that you can read it every day, all your life, and never get all the juice out of it. Because it's a refreshment. It's an ever-flowing well of love, answers, promises. Here in chapter 5, verse 1 through 3, it says, "Give ear to my word, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up." That prayer right there says that every day he'll pray. David wrote these psalms as songs, and they can also be used as prayers. That's an amazing thing that David thought. I don't know how he thought when he wrote these songs that he knew. I don't know if he knew they would one day become prayers. How we look at these here messages right here, which had to also be God breathed even through David. I look forward to waking up every morning. That wake up in the morning and knowing that you have a day of watching God work through you, or to direct you, to guide you, to see what the mysteries of life will unfold because of your prayers, to see people being healed because of your prayers, to see lives change because of your prayers. That's a very good feeling. That's an amazing thing. You know, you think of so many things out there that's rewarding in our life that we want to be a part of this and a part of that group, a part of that club, a part of that this, that, and the other thing. But let me tell you something. There is nothing more exciting to watch somebody's life change in front of your eyes because of your prayers. To see somebody healed because of your prayers. And you know, one thing I love to do is pray. I have a little thing. I have a devotion I do over in the Light of Life. And I pray with people all the time. And I love to hear when they come back and tell me what the Lord has done in their life because we prayed. I tell people, don't have me pray for you. Pray with me. Let's pray together about your situation, your circumstances, because you know what you're going through. You know what you need. I can assist you in prayer. You know, we can knock on God's door, but you got to go through because this is your prayer. Don't ask me to pray for you and you just don't want to do nothing about it. You don't even want to learn how to pray. Well, see, Paul said, I tell you what. Like he told the guy sitting on the curve there, he says, when he asked Paul for money, he says, money I have none, gold and silver I have none. But what he could do was teach him how to pray, teach him how to fish, teach him how to get his own. When people want prayer, it's necessary that we as Christians and children of God, that we teach people how to pray, teach people what to pray for. If we don't teach people, how in the world will prayer get around? How will the Great Commission ever be fulfilled? How will the Word of God ever be spread amongst the earth? There's still a lot of heathens out here today. Look at the few people sitting in church today. I know a holiday is tomorrow, and a lot of people are someplace else with their family and loved ones. But you know, the doors of the church is always open. People don't come to church like they used to. When I was a child, I was commanded and demanded to go to church, even if I didn't want to. And when I got there, that place was full. It was a whole heap of people in church. People who used to love God, they used to love to sing and praise God and give Him glory and do little happy dances and stuff. You know, I was raised up in Baptist churches, Protestant churches, Episcopalian churches, everything but a Christian church, non-denominational. And, you know, I learned a lot from those people and how they worshiped, how they prayed. Now, that brings another point, that when we pray, we must worship. When we pray, we must worship. We can pray a prayer, ask, request, put our desires before the throne of God. But after that, we've got to worship. We've got to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for answering my prayer. Thank God in advance for answering your prayer. That's what He wants to hear. He wants to know that you have confidence in Him to answer your prayers, that He can handle your situation. You know, someone told me a long time ago about, I'll just use me for example. He says, good morning, Hayward. He says, today I'll take care of all your business and I don't need your help. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because, you know, I get in the way. If I try to pray about something and it takes too long, here I go putting my 2 cents in it. And I'm going to get things done my way. And I just hope the Lord follows along. Well, you see, I used to do that. I don't do that no more. Because you know what? When I do that, when I get in the way, when I pray for something and then I'm going to just make it happen anyhow because God has taken too long, it don't happen the way I want it to happen. Or it might happen the way I want it to happen. But here's the thing about it, it's so temporary. But when God does something through your prayers, it's there to last. It's going to stay a while. It ain't going nowhere. And it's always better than you realized or even that you prayed for. He's the God of abundance. He ain't no little chinchy, little cheap, stingy type God. No, he owns it all. We're the ones that's borrowers. We're the ones in the loan office. You know, we're coming to get loans from Him. We borrow His children. We borrow His homes. We borrow His finances. We borrow everything from God because it's all His. And we got to give it back one day. We don't take nothing with us. We didn't come in this world with nothing. We ain't going out with nothing. So while we're here, we got to make sure that we do the things we need to do for God, through God. And the Holy Spirit is the one who more or less does the work for us. He's the worker bee of the Trinity. When we pray, the Holy Spirit takes our prayers before the throne. And He's the one who moans and groans our prayers out to the Lord and makes our prayers understandable. He makes them clear. He makes them plain. You know, I don't know how the Holy Spirit actually takes my prayers and gives them to the Lord, what words He uses. I would like to know, and I'll probably find out one day. But I know it's got to be good because, you know, I'm always amazed, always amazed. I've even learned to have patience with God. I've learned to have a quiet time and just listen to God. And when I say God, I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Let's not get that twisted. I'm talking about Jesus Christ when I say God. I'm not talking about no something hanging on a wall nowhere or, you know, something down the street. I'm talking about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, in the Old Testament, the Lord Himself used to speak to the people, and He was the one calling the shots, the Father, the main Father, the number one before Jesus Christ reached the earth. You know, our Lord, He was the one who used to strike people down and destroy nations and wipe them off the map. The Lord didn't take no prisoners, you know. So if you didn't do what He said then, you was just in trouble. But let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ came for us and He became our intercessor and through the Holy Spirit, do you know that we are safe? We don't have to worry about getting struck down by lightning or wiped off the earth or having our homes destroyed, our nations destroyed. We're safe as children of God. It tells us that in Revelation. It tells us that, you know, even after the rapture. The rapture will come first, and then will come tribulation. Thank you. I was stuck for a minute. And then comes the tribulation. But even during the times of the tribulation, that his people will still be saved. They will be safe. You know, there'll be Christians still left. But prayer is going to be the answer to all these things. Prayer is the answer to things right now. There is no difference from the first century church to now, because when Jesus Christ walked the earth, it's the same as it is now. You know, they just wear different clothes. That's all. Sin is still sin. They committed the same sins back then that we commit now. But the only thing now, we have a way out. We have the Holy Spirit. We have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose from the dead for our salvation. And all we have to do is come to him. Anything we say to God is prayer. When we say Jesus, it's prayer, because we're putting him first. We're making it known that he is the one that's in charge of our life. He's in charge of our future. He's in charge of everything that we own. Well, we own nothing, but everything that we have borrowed from Christ, we are responsible for it. And the way we take care of the things that belong to Christ is through prayer, because we need to ask him, how do he want it? How? What do we do? How do we raise our children? What job should we take? When should we leave a job? Because a lot of times we work in places that's not really fit for Christians, but we have to work there to make a living. We have to ask God, what do we need to do in this situation? You know, a lot of times we go to our neighbors, we go to our family members. We do all these things and go all these places when we could really keep it simple and ask God. God is the answer to our questions. He's the lifeline that flows through us and shows us what to do, where to do it, how to do it, when to do it. And he'll take care of the rest. I like that, because God said, if you take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. That's a promise. And I found that out to be true. I test the word of God quite often through prayer also. I say, well, Lord, you said this. Show me. Because there's always something in the Bible that can fit our life right here, right now. Everybody's going through something. I don't care who you are. You're going through something. Nobody walks the face of this earth, even children, that don't go through something. Children are being bullied. You know, and then there's this computer thing where they can do all this here texting messages about you, and that's cyberbullying and things like that for children. You know, old people, elders are being just discarded these days and stored up and stacked up in these homes and stuff where nobody wants to be a part of their life anymore after they get to a certain age. These are the people we pray for. I went to a nursing home the other day, and was praying with some people and visiting other people at this nursing home. And it's such a sad sight to see the people that has been discarded by their families. They put away in these storage bins, like, you know, they look like horses in a stall. You know, they're sad, they're miserable, they're broken. You know, and when somebody just comes by, a visitor, somebody they don't even know, and says hello to them, they just perk up. You know. When I go visit one person, I visit about 7, 8, 10 people. I visit everybody that I can walk in their room and they can talk. I go and visit them. And I don't know who they are. They don't know who I am. But you know what? We're happy when we're sitting there talking. And when we're talking, you know what I do? I pray. I pray for them. I show them how to pray. I ask them to pray with me. They can sometimes barely talk. But I tell them the answer to all things, even if you can't talk, you can pray. Because you can pray inside of your body. You can pray in your mind. You know, sometimes you get to a certain age and your body just shuts down. Your knuckles don't work no more, and your hands are all balled up, and your neck won't turn, and your mouth won't move. You lost your teeth. Your hair is gone. You can't walk. Your arms are stuck. But you know what you can do? You can pray. You might can't walk. You might can't talk, but you can pray. That's the secret to life. That's life's blood. That's what goes through us to keep us functioning as Christians. And it was keeping the world moving right now is our work, our prayers for this world. It's us that keep this world motivated to keep going. Because, see, God has given us all a mission. He's given us all a job to do. And it's to pray for one another. Because, see, nobody knows exactly what somebody needs, but when you take a person before the throne of God in prayer, something's going to happen. It's going to be something worthwhile waiting for, something worthwhile watching to see how God works in somebody's life. The Bible is full of incidences. Let me share a little something with you here. The people that prayed, you know, you would be surprised at the people that prayed in the Bible. You know, Samson, he prayed. He said, you know, Lord, just give me sight one more time. Give me one eye at least. Give me strength to pull these columns down and destroy this temple of heathens. The Lord heard his prayer. And what did he do? He pulled the temple down with his last strength, with his last breath, with the end of his life. He did one thing, and he did it for God. He prayed. And God answered his prayer. Noah prayed. Moses prayed. Isaiah prayed. Naomi prayed. Ezra prayed. These people of the Bible, these people prayed. You know, and you know why? Because they had faith in God. They had faith that their prayers would be answered. And the thing that gives us faith is when God answers prayers. If he answers your prayer, I know he'll answer my prayer. If he answers your prayer, he'll answer their prayer. But in his time, in his will, the people of the Bible never stopped praying, because you know what? That's how the world was built, was through prayer. God said, let there be. That was a prayer, because he said that with the thought and with the inspiration and with the mind of the Father. He was in unison with the Father and the Holy Spirit. When we pray, we must be in unison with the Father. We must be in unison with the Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. It's a team. It's a tag team party when you pray. It's not a you all by yourself praying. You know, we're surrounded by angels. We're protected and guarded by angels. How many, I have no idea, but I guarantee you we are being protected. There's so many times when I've prayed before I left the house. And do you know how many car automobile accidents that I had missed just in one travel coming, going from here to New Kensington or something? You know, I might have missed 3 car accidents. You know, I pray, and then, you know, something to tell me when I get down to the car to put my key in. Oh, I forgot something in the house, and I go back in the house to get it. And now I'm running like 5 minutes late, and then I find out there was an accident up there. If I would have been 5 minutes sooner, I would have been in that accident. But you see, prayer changes things. See, we have to have confidence that the reason things happen is because that's how God will have it in our life as Christians. I can't speak for heathens. I can't speak for the people who don't believe in God, who said there is no God, and there never was a God, and there will never be a God. As I was reading in Revelation, it's a wild thing that people, even at the end of time, will rather die than say that there is a God. But God will not allow them to die, because you know why? Every eye will see and every knee will bend and every tongue will say that there is God. God is the answer to all things. He is Lord. Every knee will bow. It's a guarantee. And I tell you what, if it ain't a guarantee, I'm sure going through life like it is a guarantee. And I'm going to be on the right team, because you know what? I cannot see when people say, you know what, we're going to have I look forward to seeing you in hell because we're going to party down there. I don't think it's going to be no party. I don't think it's going to be no party in hell. Matter of fact, I know it ain't going to be no party in hell, because the Lord has told us in his word. He said there will be, you know, gnashing of teeth and pain and anguish and thirst and eternal damnation. That's an ugly kind of thing. Who wants that? I like the things that the Lord says. He says, you do this and I'll do that. He promised you this and he'll do his part. Prayer, it reflects our dependency on God also. We must be dependent on God. You know, it was Isaac. Isaac, he pleaded for children. And the Bible, it encouraged us to ask and even plead for our personal and even our most important requests. God wants to grant our requests, but he wants us to ask him. Even then, as Isaac learned, God may decide to withhold his answer for a while in order to, one, to deepen our insight into what we really need. You see, sometimes we can pray off the handle. We can pray ahead of time And we don't know what we're praying for. So God will hold back that prayer until it's really time for us to receive that prayer. You know, it also, prayer, it broadens our appreciation when He answers us. Okay? And I know that's what got me to praying and really get excited about prayer when I pray, because I pray with expectancy. I expect the answer from the Lord. I expect something to change in my life when I pray. I look forward to it. I pay attention to it. I wait for it. I take quiet time and wonder. And sometimes I ask God, yet? Nothing? Okay. And I wait. Because you know what? I have found out through my years that God answers prayers in His time. You know, I was in the military for 20-some years. And when I got out of the military, I didn't have no family no more. My children was gone. My significant other was gone. My mother, she died. My friends, they, who knows where they were that I thought were friends. And then He gave me another 20 years to rebuild everything back up again. He gave me He gave me my family back, all my children. He gave me more children back than I had when I started. I got 8 grandchildren now. I never knew I had all them children. I got 3 children that I knew was mine, but now I got 8 grandchildren that I had never met. So when the Lord rebuilt my life, He rebuilt my family, He rebuilt my trust in Him, knowing that my prayers were answered even though it took 20 years. Maybe more than that. But the thing is, He gave me more than I prayed for. He gave me 8 grandchildren. Children that I never knew. I got twins that look just like me. I don't know if that's a good thing, but they are so cute. But the Lord had to remove all the rubbish from my life, take me down to the bottom and rebuild me. And when He rebuilt me, He put a prayer in me. It's just a bug that won't go away, and I'm so glad. Everything I do, I pray about it. I don't worry about things no more. Because you know what? I know I'm going to heaven. I'm guaranteed to go to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. I can sing about going to heaven. I can sing about I am a friend of God. I know when I wake up in the morning, it's going to be a good day. I don't care what happens. I don't care what happens during the day. It's a good day. You know why? Because God is in control. God is on the throne. Because I prayed. I asked God when I wake up in the morning. I said, Jesus, what is it you would like me to do today? And He don't really say, well, Hayward, I tell you what, you start here and go there. No, He doesn't do that. But as I go through the course of the day, I know that I'm being led. I meet people that I haven't seen in ages. I help people when I didn't even expect to help somebody, or somebody helps me that I never expected to help. You know, and it's just amazing to watch God work through prayer. You see, but you know that God is going to do something for you. You don't know how. See, He knows how. He knows what He's going to do because He knows what you prayed for. He knew what you was going to pray for before you prayed for it, but prayer is the answer. You know, we like our children to come to us and ask us for things even though we know they need it. You know, they come to you and ask you for some tennis shoes where you knew they needed tennis shoes, but it feels so good when they come and ask you, because now you can do something and show them your love. You can get them tennis shoes they wanted. You can give them what they need, okay? You don't always give them what they want, but you can give them what they need, and you feel so good as a parent, as a grandparent, as an uncle or aunt, you know? I mean, maybe you're just a friend of the family and you can help out. You feel so good when they come to you and ask you for help. That's the way the Father feels when we go to Him for help. We say, Dad, Abba, Daddy, Father, Lord, Jesus, could you do this, or could you help me out with this, or what do you think about that? What should I do about this? You see, put all that before the Lord. Give Him a package deal. Don't nitpick and give Him a little here and a little there. Get your blessings at one time. Get them all. You know, the only thing that stops us from being blessed every day, and we don't always pray every day, all day like we should, because life gets in, in our head sometimes and gets in our eyes, and life gets in our ears, and life gets in our heart, life gets in our character and our personality, and we get a little grumbly and a little irate sometimes. You know, somebody gets on our last nerve, and that's not when you want to pray, when somebody got on your last nerve. But you know what? That's the best time to pray, because you know what? God will remove them. Or if he does not remove that person or that thing that then got on your last nerve, he will give you the tolerance. He'll give you the patience. He'll give you what you need to get through it. You may not get away from it, but he'll show you how to get through it. He'll show you what to do when there's nothing else to be done. You say, there's nothing else I can do. Lord, you know, and you just shout out, Lord, what do I do now? And, you know, you really didn't mean to ask him, but that was something just came to your mind. You know, today, God's name is used so blasphemous. Blasphemous. It's a ugly thing. I mean, my flesh crawls everywhere I go today. I'll be standing in the store and people behind me in line saying these words. And I actually turn around and say, you know, don't say that, because you just don't know God. I said, if you knew God, you wouldn't say the things you say. And I don't know who them people was, and I don't care who they was, but I will defend my Father. I will tell people, don't curse like that using his name. It's bad enough that you do curse. No, I'm not the best person in the world, but there's one thing I do, is I respect my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's some people that sometimes get on my last nerve, and I have to pray. Where there was a time when I would do whatever I wanted to do to an individual that got on my last nerve. But today, I pray. I say, Lord, help me. Lord, help them. And you know what? I feel better. It's just something feel good into you. Something just gets in you and you feel better when you say Jesus. When you say, Lord, have mercy. Something just feels good in you when you're talking to your Lord and Savior. Prayer is the most powerful thing in your life that you can look forward to, that you never have to worry about. Nobody can get in your business. Let me tell you. It used to be a time you walked down the street talking to yourself, you know, and we used to call them crazy people. You're walking down the street and people just talking, yakka, yakka, yakka. That was before the cell phones and the Bluetooths. Well, now they got cell phones, they got Bluetooths and all this. You can walk down the street today and pray all day and pray out loud, Lord Jesus, thank you, Holy Father, hallelujah. All day you can walk down the street and pray out loud. And ain't nobody going to look at you crazy. Ain't nobody going to look at you funny, because you got a Bluetooth. You might have a cell phone. So you're good to go. You could be talking to anybody, but nobody ever expects you to be talking to the Lord. Amen. And I do it all day. All day I walk down the street talking out loud. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Help them, Jesus. Pray for them, Lord. Help them, Jesus. Help them. I see a fire engine going down the street. I pray for that fire engine. Lord, whoever is in that fire, Lord, help them. Help them, Jesus. Help the fireman that's going to be in that fire to protect or to save this person. Help them, Lord. I see a policeman going down with his sirens going, wah, 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 wah. I don't know the situation. I don't know if it's good or bad, but I pray immediately, because you know what? Somebody prayed for me. My mother prayed for me in the middle of the night. I could hear her 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd be coming in at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And that was before I gave my life to God. To Jesus. And I'd hear her praying for Hayward. Lord, help my son. Help my boy. Lord, do this and do that. And I come in the house with my attitude. Oh, Mom, you need to stop. You just need to stop. Oh, she really get loud and get to praying for real then. And do you know what? Well, she's been dead about 20 years now. And here I am. You know, her prayers work, because I love the Lord like she loves the Lord. Like she loved the Lord, I love the Lord. And she taught me and raised me in church, but I didn't like church. I didn't like to hear her praying. I didn't believe what she was praying. I thought she was a little crazy. I thought it was her medication. But I found out that she had fervent prayer. She was a strong woman. She raised me as a single mother. And I was a handful. Believe that. And today, I look back over my life and see all the prayers that she prayed for me has come to pass. Now, it didn't happen overnight, I guarantee you. But it just goes to show the limitation of God. There is none. It goes to show the limitation of prayer. There is none. You see, anything we pray for has its time and place. But one thing we must realize is who's on the throne, who we pray to, who we pray for. You know, scripture that says we must pray for others. We should pray for others. It's our obligated duty to pray for others. You know, a lot of times I did all the prayer for myself. I was a really stingy praying guy. I prayed just for me. Nobody, I didn't want to be bothered with nobody else's problems. Me, 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 me. Well, you know, that's a problem too. God doesn't want selfish prayers. He says, love one another as he has loved us. If we love somebody, we pray for them. If we pray for them, we love them. And it doesn't mean that you know the person in order to love them. We're not talking about a physical attraction love. We're talking about a spiritual love. We as Christians, it's our obligated duty to pray for other people, to pray for everybody, to pray for our nation, to pray, pray, pray. Prayer is the answer. Prayer is the lifeline in our spirit. What else can we do for somebody that we don't know but pray for them? And then watch it work and watch it happen. Watch things change. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. That's about all I have for prayer. But, you know, there is one thing. Prepare yourself to pray. Prepare yourself. Don't just jump into prayer with any old off-the-wall jibble-jabble. Know what you want to ask God. And know how to ask God. And wait for an answer. When we pray, we should find a quiet place, actually. You know, I'm saying you could walk down the street like you got a Bluetooth and pray out loud and all that. That's good, too. But I think we really pray when we concentrate and focus on who God is. We've got to focus on what he's capable of. Okay, we can't put limitations on God. That's one of the biggest problems that I had myself, was limiting God. I don't want to ask him this because this is a big one here. You know, I put him in the little stuff. You know, I pray for big things for other people, but I never thought that I should pray for big things for myself because I thought maybe I would be being greedy, you know. Well, God don't handle that level of our little mentality and how we feel about things. It's how he feels about things. And it's when we pray to him, it's how he sorts it out for our life. He wants nothing but the best of us. Our Lord has gone before us and made all the preparations necessary for our eternity if we're children of God. If we choose to live for Christ, believe me, we'll live with Christ. That's a good thing to think about. If we live for Christ, we will live with Christ forever and ever and ever and all for all time, for all eternity. And I'm so looking forward to that. You know, things just ain't so bad today. I'm getting older. No, I'm not getting old. I'm getting older. Okay. And I look forward to every day saying, well, Lord, here's another day gone. I'm a day closer to you, Jesus. You know, I look forward to meeting Jesus. The people on the earth may be sad and lonely or whatever, but do you know, it's a wonderful thing. I had a life experience one time. And it was so fascinating. It was so wonderful and so peaceful. You know, they call them a life experience, outside, outer body experience or something like that. You know, I was in the military and that happened. And it was so real that I'll never forget it all my life. And the one thing I know is that I'm heaven bound. I know that I've seen a glimpse of God's glory. I know I've seen a glimpse of God's glory. You know, and just that glimpse was just so awesome that it's indescribable, and you just look forward to seeing God one day. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To see his face is going to be something that's going to be beyond what words can explain. And you know, I was sharing with Sherry one day about the angels in heaven that praise and worship God, that pray and worship and sing and dance. And, you know, there's legions and legions and legions of angels. And I read a word the other day. I should have wrote it down. I didn't. But it was something like derriere. It was some phenomenal number of angels, which is beyond millions and billions. Okay, like a legion is 100,000, if I'm not mistaken. And then there's a number that's indescribable, a heavenly number. I'm gonna find this again one day and give you the true name of this number. It's Derriere or something. But it's an astronomical number. It's a heavenly number of the angels that worship and praise God 24/7. And then it makes me wonder, 24/7, is that really going to be a reality in heaven? I don't think 24/7 is going to have a whole lot to do with eternity. You know, I don't think we'll have a clock and watches and things like that. But guess what we will be still having? Prayer. We're going to pray. We're not going to have no church, but we will still be worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through all eternity. Nope, no more church. It'll be no more 8 o'clock services or 9:15 services or 11 o'clock services. No, it's going to be all the way around, all day, every day, everything you do, there's Jesus. Everywhere you go, there's Jesus, you know. Now, do you think we're going to act like we do now in the presence of Jesus? No, I don't think so. Well, why don't we start now practicing on how we're going to act when we get to Jesus? You see, we need to practice. That's what this whole thing is about, this living thing. We have to. This is boot camp. This is God's boot camp for us. And you know what he does? He takes his best. He takes the ones that's worthy, the ones that's prayerful, the ones that's helpful, the ones that's godly. You know, he takes those people and he works them and he molds them and he makes them what he wants. He makes them his soldiers. He makes us his soldiers. And I tell you what, we're going to be good soldiers one day when he's finished with us. Because like Pastor Bob says, we're just clay on a potter's wheel. You know, I love this church because this is a teaching church. I've learned so much since I've been here, my 10, 11, 12 years. I sat under the teaching of Pastor Bob, and he just motivates me to want to know more, learn more, teach more, you know, because it's inspirational. It rubs off. It rubs off on you when you find a solid praying Christian person. You want to be with them. You want to be around them. You want to touch them. You just want to pray with them. And you want them to pray for you. And you want to talk to them. You want to share yourself with these people. Well, Pastor Bob is that guy that just illuminates me when I'm around him. Because he's always got something worthwhile to listen to. You know, and I mean, like, we can have fun and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? The things he do and the things he say are so meaningful and so touching in a person's life that you can't shake it. You know, he'll say something to you that's going to be almost like a prayer itself. You know, and I just marvel, you know, under my pastor, under my shepherd, Pastor Bob. And it's an honor to be here to talk to you today and share what I've learned in my life about prayer. I appreciate for your patience and your quietness. Nobody went to sleep, and I thank you for that. I don't know how long I'm supposed to talk. I can go on for another couple of hours if we want to go through the next service, okay? But anyway, thank you so much, everybody. And let me say this. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear Lord. I praise you. I give you all the glory, Heavenly Father. There would be no life without you, dear Jesus. And one thing I thank you for the most is learning how to communicate with you, dear Jesus. You gave us prayer. You gave us praying people. You gave us things to pray about. And most of all, Heavenly Father, you gave us you. You died on the cross. You came back to life. And for our salvation, so we could be eternally ever for with you, Heavenly Father, for eternity. Dear Lord, bless us as we come and go, dear Lord. Give us safe travel. Dear Lord, bless all those under the sound of my voice, their family and loved ones, Heavenly Father. And dear Lord, thank you for just being in charge, dear Lord, for all that you do for us. And Heavenly Father, show us what it is we can do for you, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, we don't want to be standbys, Heavenly Father. We want to be in the game. We want to be in the race, Heavenly Father. We want to be in the battle, Heavenly Father. We want you to show us where to go and what to do. And dear Lord, let us do it. Heavenly Father, there's so many times you've asked me to do something, and Heavenly Father, I thought twice about it. But today, I don't think twice no more. When I know it's the Holy Spirit leading and guiding, Heavenly Father, I jump right on it. And I get right in the wagon and go, dear Lord. I love that saying, here am I, Take me. Send me, Lord. All these prayers. We pray for our pastor, dear Lord, that's away on vacation now. And we pray for our associate pastor who's away in California for higher learning, Heavenly Father. And dear Lord, we pray for all the elders that's going to be representing our shepherd, dear Lord, in their worship services, Heavenly Father. We thank you, dear Lord, for this church and the foundation of the people and this family of Christians, Heavenly Father, that we can come together and we can pray together. We can play together. We can talk together. We can eat together, dear Lord. This is a family. This is a unit, dear Lord, that you have made for a day just as this. Dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we give you all the glory in Jesus' holy and mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.